This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma alimna ma yanfa'una wa anfa'na bima alamtana. Innaka sami'un mujibu du'a. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. جزاكم الله خير for joining us today. الحمد لله رب العالمين. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى open our hearts, all of us, to the topic of today, to the journey of today. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, and always these verses comes to my mind. And he said it twice, one time in Surah An-Nisa, and one time he said it in Surah Muhammad. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah said, أَفْلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Why don't they comprehend and reflect on the Quran? And if they have found differences in it, if it was not from Allah, they would have found so much differences or conflicts or contradiction in it. Same in Surah Muhammad. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقَافَالُهَا. They do not reflect and understand the Quran, or their hearts are locked. These two takes me to the next verse, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in Surah Al-Qamar. And he repeated it like every few ayat, verses, and this verse comes in. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. We for sure have made the Qur'an easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا, we made it easy. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ, to be remembered, to be recited. فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. Does anyone remember this statement? Does anyone remember this? So with this introduction, it gives me a great pleasure today to have a guest, Dr. Saadia Mi'an, and she is joining us from Michigan. And the main reason, or there's more than one reason, but one of the main reasons for my heart, close to my heart, that I have the honor and the pleasure of having her with us today, is the fact that she is not only a professional, not only a physician, a woman, a working woman, but the main crown that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed her with is the crown of Quran. She's also the author of the book, which some of you, or probably many of you, have read, is The Crown Venture, where basically a book talks about her journey in memorizing the Quran. And this topic, memorizing the Quran itself, is so dear to me, subhanallah, and gives me a great pleasure to have her with us. Dr. Saadia, jazakallah khair for joining us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you and accept from you. I want you first to tell our audience, which I'm sure everybody knows you, but doesn't hurt to tell them. How do you want to introduce yourself?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm so honored to be here in your class, Dr. Haifa. I am an endocrinologist. I work full time. I live in Michigan. I did write this book called The Crowning Venture, Inspiration from Women Who Have Memorized the Quran. I love other things like functional medicine, healthy lifestyle, things like that. And I'm really honored to be here today. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure, actually. So I'm going to start by saying, Dr. Saadia, what made you write the book to start with?
I'll go back a little bit to my story and how I memorized the Quran in the first place. When I was in between finishing, I finished undergrad and I was about to start medical school. I had about 8 months off. I decided to go to Syria to learn Arabic. My initial intention was to go to Syria for 3 weeks and to learn Arabic. While I was there, I met my teachers. I met NC Tamara, NC Sosin, and other teachers as well. They actually told me, if you are able to extend your trip, you can get an ijazah to teach the Jweed. Back at that time, there was not a lot of people, women in the United States, who were certified to teach Quran. So there was a need for this. So I decided to extend my trip. I stayed for about 4.5 months. I got my ijazah in tajweed. I came back and 4 days later, I started medical school.
MashaAllah.
Then, but after spending the entire summer glued to the Quran, working on the tajweed, working to fix my lad, working to fix all these letters, and hours every day, I literally fell in love with the Quran. I could not get enough of it. At that point, my heart just yearned to take the next step. You know, it's when you fall in love with the Quran like that, you yearn to know it's the words inside and out. And I saw all these women there who had memorized the Quran, women and girls of all ages. It gave me something to look at. You know how they say you can't be what you can't see. So I saw all these women have done it. So why can't I? At that point, I did 2 years of medical school. Alhamdulillah, I still had this desire that I want to have a chance to really spend the time to memorize. And so after I took my step two board exam, alhamdulillah, I passed it with flying colors. I had a friend who had taken a year off of medical school after she did 2 years, and she went to Egypt for a year. So I thought, well, why can't I go to Syria for a year and then I'll come back and finish medical school? And that's what I did, alhamdulillah. I spent that year there focusing on the memorization of the Quran. I was also learning Arabic at the time because my background is, my parents are from Pakistan. I was born in the US, but my parents are from Pakistan. I did not speak Arabic. So I spent that year learning Arabic and memorizing the Quran at the same time. And after that year, I came back, I finished the second 2 years of medical school. I went on to do residency. I did a fellowship in endocrinology. And since then I've been working. The book came about in 2015. I had traveled to Sweden with NC Tamra and some other friends of ours who were in Rabata, part of Rabata.
This is Sister Tamara Gray.
Yes. Uh-huh. And there was a women's conference in Sweden. So on our way back, we're sitting on the plane. For some reason, she turned to me and she said, why don't you write a book about memorizing Quran? And so I just pulled out my smartphone right there and I wrote out an introduction and I wrote out an outline on the plane. This is what a book that's going to be about memorizing Quran, it should contain these chapters, these ideas. And subhanAllah, from there, you know, I just started writing. I wrote my story, shared my story about the year that I spent in Syria. I wrote very vulnerably about the difficulties of reviewing too, especially, you know, now after I had left Syria, now I'm back in the real world, working, you know, in school, always studying. So how to find time to actually review as well. After I wrote my story, I thought there are so many women who will never leave the U.S. There's so many women who will never have a chance to go to Syria. They will, maybe they already have children. Maybe they, you know, come from different backgrounds. So I found 12 other women who had stories different than mine and interviewed them so that anybody who picks up this book, if they don't relate to one story, they can relate to another. And alhamdulillah, I have found that there, in doing that, there has been so much barakah. Every week, I hear from people all over the world, from women who have said things like, I started memorizing the Quran, and then I stopped, and I read your book, and it motivated me to start this journey again. So alhamdulillah, it's beautiful to get that kind of feedback.
So if I want to ask, which is, question I commonly also get, I'm sure you get it. Why should I memorize the Quran? One. The second is, it's not an obligation. It's not a fard. And it's true. It's not an obligation. Number two. Number three, I don't think I can ever memorize the Quran. It's very difficult and I'm going to forget it. So let's start one by one. Why should I? Mm-hmm. And if this is one of our viewers, why should I?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question because I teach classes about memorization and I bring up that point that yes, it's not fard, but ask yourself, what I can say from my experience, having gone through, and I'm by no means a perfect hafidha at all. Like it's a journey. It's a lifelong journey for me. But even going through one time in memorization, you get to know the Quran so much more deeply than when you just recite it. And because if you remember, when I was getting my ijazah, I was reciting hours and hours a day. But once you start memorizing, there's something that different that happens. You enter a different dimension with it. And number two, there's a reward for all that time that you spend doing it. But the other thing is, I give this example to my students. Let's say somebody came up, you know, and I gave the example, there are people who are not Muslim, maybe they're professors in universities who their Arabic is better than ours. Maybe they have even memorized the Quran. If one of them walked up to you and made up an ayah, would you be able to recognize, is this in the Quran or is it not? And when you spend that much time with the Quran, you get to know it better deeply at that level. And so there's, you know, also the benefits of when you're listening to the recitation in Taraweeh, how beautiful it is when you know it. Also, it just strengthens your love for it. The more time that you spend with it, the more attached that you get to it. It just grows, you know, that attachment and that love. And these are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. If I remember my teacher, some of my teachers, they would say that if you were to receive a love letter, what would you do with that love letter? You know, you would read it over and over again. Let's say it's your beloved. You know, you're going to pull it out. You're going to read it. You might read it multiple times. You might put it away. You're going to pull it out again. You're going to read those words again. You can't get enough of it. And these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah, when I was asked this question, I gave a different answer. As a physician, and you will feel that. My first answer was, why not? Mm-hmm. We have memorized, and any of the physicians listening to us, and the Torah Sa'diyah knows this, when you study medicine, there's some books you really have to memorize.
Yes.
To be strong in your field, you really have to memorize, and you have to memorize very well. Mm-hmm. So I said to myself, when people asked me, I was like, subhanAllah, nobody asked me, why are you memorizing all these books of medicine? Right? Everybody actually expect you to excel, to become different physician than the others. So why, when it comes to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people question this? This brings me exactly to the love letter, which I will add is, where is the Quran in my heart and in my life and in my priority? I remember, and this is something that's personal, but I'll share it with everybody, and you probably will feel it very well. In my first exam, because you know how many exams you get. So it was the first 10 ajza of the Quran together. And I remember I sat in front of three teachers who were examining you. And the first question, I start crying. And I'm normally a woman, doesn't cry very easily. I mean, unless it's really something. And they thought I'm so scared. So they called my teacher. And why did you bring her if she's not ready? We should not do this to her, all this. And finally, when I was able to speak and I said, I'm not crying because it's an exam. I'm crying because how can I sit in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the day of judgment? And I have memorized all these books of medicine and I did not yet memorize all his book. And really, this is how it came to me. So the first thing is, don't ask why, ask how come I have not yet done it. Start the journey, and we're going to come to the journey. But the first question is, ask yourself, why not? We have memorized, I always ask this woman, not physicians, and I said, especially Indo-Pak, you know this very well, Dr. Asadi. Mm-hmm. If I ask them and I said, give me a recipe for biryani, right? How many recipes I will get out of their heart? Nobody will look for a book. We all learned that. Mm-hmm. So don't ask yourself why. Ask yourself why I have not yet started. Mm-hmm. Now take us through the journey. What is the obstacles? I'm sure there is obstacles. Of course there is. Mm-hmm. What is the obstacles if you want to start?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you mentioned the very first obstacle is asking, is this something that I should do or not? I still have people asking that. you know, is this something I should do? You know, there's the, a lot of people are discouraged either because they're women or they're discouraged because of the fear of forgetting. Hmm. And I wrote a whole chapter about this concept of forgetting the Quran. And what does that mean? You know, they'll say, well, it's worse to memorize and forget it than to not do it in the first place. The, from all the research that I did, and as you know, that like the Albani sisters who wrote a whole book about this, forgetting is a natural thing. We expect it.
Exactly.
Of course, you memorize something, you're going to forget it. But the key is that you keep on reviewing and you never leave that commitment. So just hold on to the commitment and keep a daily word of the Quran. And don't worry about the forgetting or not forgetting. You just commit to every day you're going to be working on review. And the other thing is that just like, again, if we take it back to medicine, I wish that we could read something one time and never forget it, because medical school would have been so easy. But why is medical school so difficult? Why does it require hours and hours and hours of study? Is because the nature of learning something is that you are going to forget it. So you just go in, first of all, you go in with that, and it takes away so much stress. You know, I hear people all the time, okay, but I memorized this and I forgot it. Well, of course, you know, so it's, that's the whole thing. You just commit that no matter what, the rest of my life, I will be spending some time every day with the Quran, and whatever that is for each individual person. You know, for somebody who has a newborn baby, it might be 20 minutes. For somebody who has a lot more time, it might be hours, but whatever it is, you just pick an amount and you stick with it. And also realizing that there may be times in your life where things happen, you might miss a day, but that's okay. You just get start again the next day. You know, there's, let's say you're, there's a family member in the hospital who's sick, or you get sick or some, you know, this is life, but a part of our life, we fit actually, you know, the way we describe it is fit your life around Quran. You know, I was going to say, how do you fit Quran into your life? But really, another way to look at it is, okay, here's the Quran, and let me fit my life around this. So that's one thing, is this concept of, should I do it? And the concept of forgetting. You mentioned at the, actually, we were having this conversation before we came live about finding a teacher, which, yes, it's important to have a teacher. However, until you find a teacher, now you can always start the journey, and the journey is different for different people. For some people, now I recommend starting out with tajweed and really working on one's tajweed before going deeply into memorization. And nowadays there's no shortage of tajweed teachers. We can find them online. You know, back when I got my ijazah, there was internet was brand new.
Yes.
And now we really don't have any excuse. I mean, I had to travel to Syria to get this knowledge. But now we have not only the tajweed teachers online, I mean, all sacred knowledge. You can, although it's nice to be in the presence of teachers, but we really don't have any excuse. So start out with the tajweed. And I firmly believe that when you have a deep, sincere intention, yes, that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the way. And whatever that means, whether it means a teacher will come into your life. In my case, when I wanted to go to Syria, initially my parents did not feel comfortable. You know, my mom did not feel comfortable sending her daughter to a country that was not, you know, their country. It just so, you know, turned out initially, you know, my mom, she didn't feel comfortable the first time. So I just put it to the side. And then a few months later, there was a group of women going, and one of them was my sister's friend. And my mom knew her, she trusted her, and she herself brought it up and said, do you want to go to Syria? And I mean, subhanAllah, that was a shock to me. And then even when it came to taking a year off after finishing 2 years of medical school, again, initially my mom was a little bit concerned and nervous about it. And I just kind of let it go. I remember it was Ramadan. It was towards the end of Ramadan that I asked her, and there was maybe one more day left of Ramadan. She was nervous, so I just said, okay. And I just decided, you know, Ramadan's almost over. I want to finish another chitzmeh. So I had like, you know, 17 ijza or something. And I just remember quickly finishing in less than a day, finishing another chitzmeh. And I don't know if it was my mom saw me, you know, how much I was working on it or what, but she brought it up herself again. So really just having that sincere intention. So first of all, deciding this is okay, this is something I want to do, having that sincere intention, and then just making dua and take the first steps. Don't put it off. You know, don't let anything, okay, this is something I'm going to do in the future. Just do it. You know, start learning tajweed if that's where you're at. There's even memorization teachers. I mean, there's so many programs now for women, men, children. So there's not, those obstacles are not like they used to be. And then, of course, from there, just a commitment, you know, and just committing that whether we are people of commitment. So starting out and putting that in your mind that, you know, for me, like I mentioned, when I fell in love with the Quran, there was a lot of, I had a momentum, just this, you know, a lot of feelings, you know, and that gave me force, it gave me power. But at the end of the day, some that waxes and wanes. Sometimes you feel on top of the world and you feel like you're just reciting with the angels. And sometimes you just want to get back into bed, you know, in the morning. And just realizing that we are people of commitment and not people of feelings. So, okay, I've made a commitment. Some days it's going to feel great and I'm going to do great and things are going to flow. It's going to be easy. Some days it's going to be challenging, but that's okay. Anything in life that's really worthy is going to be challenging. So those are some of the things. Yeah.
Beautiful. So if I want to summarize is, the first obstacle, which is you hear it, and it's actually us before people say to us, is that I will add, number one, if you allow me, the Torah's idea is you, mm-hmm. me comes to me and says, I don't think I can do this. This is very difficult. This is impossible. I mean, this is more than 400 pages, and I'm going to have to memorize every single word, and I cannot put waw before fa and all this. So this is shaitan. That's mm-hmm. number one. This is shaitan. So push this away. And remember the verse I said in the beginning, يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Allah made it easy. We make it difficult. We look at it as difficult. If now I look back, and probably Dr. Saadia can say this too, in your residency in endocrinology or my residency in OBGYN, how easy was that?
It was very difficult, yeah.
I can write books about it. Yeah. Right? 72 hours continuous work, but we did it.
Yeah.
Why? Because you had a goal. And people always reminded you, remember in the residency, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. They used to say this to us. There's a light under the tunnel. Now you are not sleeping 3-4 days. Once you finish, you choose your time. Subhanallah, and we did it. And woman and professional, and you have commitments, and we did it. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be came to us. And I was like, why for this dunya thing, we put the commitments? Why for the book of Allah? We cannot put the commitment. And it is difficult? No. Yes, Sarna, it will be easy. One of my teachers used to get very unhappy when we say difficult. Mm-hmm. She used to say, قِلَّةُ أَدَبٍ مَعَ اللَّهِ. This is lack of manners with Allah. He said, yes, Sarna, al-Quran. Mm-hmm. He said, we made it easy. Say it's challenging. So that's number one. We will forget? Absolutely. If you don't forget, there's something wrong, mm-hmm. I will say. Mm-hmm. In the beginning. Absolutely, mm-hmm. because it's the dua of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. وَذَكِّرْنَا مِنْهُمَا نُسِّينَا. Ya Allah, make us remember what we have made to forget. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Exactly, I'll pick up on a word, is commitment. Mm-hmm. Commitment. Again, one of my teachers used always to tell me this, because you know when you're a physician and work and you're tired, she used to look at me and says, don't give the Quran your leftover time.
Yeah.
Give it your prime time. Mm-hmm. Subhanallah. So, for example, I'm a morning person, I'll do my Quran first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm a night person, I'll do it in the night. But do it, and I will add up this. The memorizing the Quran is like going up, like hiking. Mm-hmm. Once you get to the 15 juzo, you finished 15. It doesn't matter which sequence. Once you get to the 15, you reach the top. And then you start coming down much easier. Subhanallah, it gets much easier afterward. And once mm-hmm. you finish the first khatma, as you said, the first time you finished it, there is a momentum afterward. As like you say, Allah made it easy. Mm-hmm. Tajweed, I will say, absolutely agree with you, but let's make it clear. It's not about tajweed, you have to be the perfect, the three levels. Mm-hmm. It's just you have to read it well, meaning mm-hmm. your letters are correct. So it's mm-hmm. you're not going to struggle in the future. The ha is ha. But mm-hmm. once you get to the, as we say, mustawa awwal, first level, you can say it well, start the journey, and don't delay it.
Right.
What happened to you? After you, meaning what changes it brought to your life mm-hmm. after you memorized mm-hmm. the first time when you finished?
I felt like it really gave me, in my heart, it brought my heart to life and gave me this sense of discernment. Where my heart immediately knows it's either going to, you know, it's going to turn away from something that is not good. You know, there's something that I just know, you know, I have a feeling like this is not something that is a good thing for me to either do or a good place to be. I immediately have those senses very like sharpened. And the other thing that when I look at how it's just kept me solid, you know, when I say it's kept me solid in faith, it doesn't mean, of course, we have ups and downs in our faith as well. We know that iman, you know, it goes up and down. But alhamdulillah, I have never felt, you know, the desire to, you know, go back to anything that I used to do before, you know, like as far as, I mean, alhamdulillah, I was always in a good religious family, but for example, I have not felt the desire that, oh, I want to take off my hijab, you know, or I want to do X, Y, and Z, you know, or it's just kind of kept me with the goal in mind. Like, what is the goal of this dunya?
Allah.
And I can't even like really explain it. It's hard to put into words. And I think that there's actually more that I don't even realize what it's given me. You know, this protection, sort of like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just keeping me going on this path.
Allah.
You know, without feeling like, okay, I see this person's doing this, I need to do that, you know, or this person is doing this. No. I need to be doing this with my life. No, it's just kind of like very straightforward and simple. So, alhamdulillah.
You know what this reminds me? The word hafid, mm-hmm. hafid, hafidha, it's basically translate, we all use it loosely for the person who have memorized the Quran. But hifd in the Arabic word is not memorization, actually. It's protection.
Right.
And they always used to say, إِنَّكِ لَمْ تَحْفَظِي الْقُرْآنِ وَلَكِنُ الْقُرْآنِ حَفَظَكِ. You did not memorize the Quran. Rather, the Quran protected you.
Yeah.
Which is so true. And I loved what you said. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Quran in your heart, and I'm speaking to all the people who are listening to us, وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي أَلَّهُ. So true. I got a little bit emotional when you were saying this. It's literally, the heart is one container. Mm-hmm. It contains only a few things because it gets full. Mm-hmm. When you fill it with the Quran, things goes away from the other door. Mm-hmm. You don't have an interest anymore. It's not your struggling. You don't have the interest anymore. And you probably know the famous line of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim. He used to say, singing and Quran does not live in one heart. Mm-hmm. One of them comes in, the second leave. And what does that mean? You don't feel in, you don't have this desire like everybody else, you know, the rat race, the dunya race, I call it. Your focus is on the Quran. And this is, I think, one of the ways the Quran protects you, young and old, man or a woman. You're different. You, and even you keep reminding yourself and saying, you have the Quran in your heart. It doesn't befit anymore. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Do you feel this, Doctora Saadia?
Yes. Yes. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah. So it is a protection. It's even now, and I want you to comment on this also as a physician. What does it do to the memory?
I believe that it, as far as the memory goes, the more we use those neurons, there's a thing, neuroplasticity. Yes. We are keeping our mind fresh, you know, by keep on doing this. And we can always form neurons, new neurons, and actually make stronger the ones that already exist. And it is definitely one of those situations where you use it or you lose it. So alhamdulillah, you know, it gives us an opportunity to even, it's a byproduct. You know, we don't memorize Quran for the sake of our memory, you know, or because we want to, we memorize it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the reward, because it's his words. But this is something, it's a extra benefit that we get. And, you know, what you said about the Quran being a protection, 100%. Like I said, I probably don't even know all the things that I've been protected from because I've been protected from them, you know, because they never even, and subhanAllah, it's a gift. Like, we don't even know how many things could have happened to us or ways we could have strayed because they never even came into our circle, you know? And so that's definitely there. And that feeling of, we don't memorize Quran to have, you know, a feeling or, you know, but you can actually feel the Quran in your heart. You feel the Quran beating in your heart. And when you recite it, you know, when you're in prayer, it's a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And especially in the night salah, in the qiyam, and whether your hifz, your memorization is perfect and you can recite without looking, whether you are reciting and then you still need it in front of you, just in case. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I say this to myself every day, the fact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you, and I'm saying this to everybody who wants or memorized or in the process, chosen you from all these billion people to be given his words. Now remember, the Quran is Allah's word, Kalamullah. To give it to you or to me or to Dr. Saadia or to anyone who has done it, alhamdulillah, and then allows you to stand in front of him and reciting it, it's amazing. It's overjoy. It's like somebody who wrote, and Allah is exalted, but just to give you the example, somebody wrote in a beautiful poem, and he's a dignitary, and he's sitting there, and you're reciting his or her poem in a beautiful way from memory. And this is in dunya. Now, this is a human beings like you and me. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One thing I think we have to remind everybody, and this is one of the reasons I memorized it, is the virtues of memorizing the Quran. Mm-hmm. What did the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam taught us? The person who memorized the Quran, what he or she will get in dunya and in akhirah and their family. Do you want to comment on that, Dr. Saadia?
Yeah, so definitely that is where the book, The Crowning Venture, starts with a hadith about the merits of memorizing Quran. And, you know, of course, we know that there's the reward for the parents of the person who memorizes the Quran, where they will be crowned in the hereafter. There's a hadith about how you will be asked to recite and you will go as high until you keep on reciting. That was one of a hadith that I heard for the first time when I went to Syria. And, you know, for me, I'm imagining, like visualizing in the akhirah, that there's an escalator and I see people are going higher and higher and higher. And that feeling of, why didn't I do this? you know, I had a chance. Everybody is given the same chance. And we have this short life to take that opportunity. That hadith really hit me. Then there's that hadith about the merits of even recitation. So for every letter, you're getting 10 rewards. And alif is a letter, you know, lam and meem. If you think about how many times you repeat the Quran when you're memorizing, that's all reward. And you think about all of the mistakes that we make and how our good deeds, all the good deeds that we get, that can cancel out, you know, inshallah, for our mizan in the akhirah, that reward is all there. The hadith about how the person who memorizes the Quran gets to intercede for family members. You know, there's so many. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
Al-mahiru bil-Quran ma'a as-safarati al-kiram. The person who al-mahir means he's so or she professional and so eloquent and knows the Quran very well. So that's definitely include the hafiz ma'a as-safarati al-kiram. That's a hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He or she, and this is no difference here, is with the safara kiram, the honorable angels. And this is number two, this is for everyone who's finding it difficult. And the person who reads the Quran and find it difficult reciting, which it is, even for me as an Arab speaking, there's still some words I used to say it wrong. Mm-hmm. And that person, lahu ajran. This person, with all this difficulty, has double reward, the reward of the difficulty. And I kept reminding myself, and I'm sure you did, and I remind all my sisters and anyone who's listening to us, the time you spend with the Quran, reading, understanding, tajweed, memorizing, it's an act of worship. It's like you are in salah. It's like you are fasting. So don't look at it as, think of the positive. I want you to take us into the practical, like a practical schedule. Somebody, let's assume I decided today, I'm so inspired by this talk, and I want to tell me, Dr. Saadia, how did you start? What do I exactly do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So my initial experience was different because I spent a year in Syria just focused on Quran and Arabic. My day there was very different than it is for me now. But you know, if you happen to have, for the person who is able to take time out and do that, even if it's 1 week, even if it's a month, a year, my day used to start with 4 days of 4 hours of Arabic class. And then actually before that, because there's that, you know, the keystone habit, when it comes to anything in life, but especially I believe with Quran, is to become regular in tahajjud, so that you are starting out your day correctly with the barakah, even before fajr time. And if it's something you have never done, or if it's you're struggling, I tell people even wake up and pray two rak'ahs before fajr. So right when fajr comes in, you pray fajr salah, and then afterwards, that is the blessed time for Quran. You know, right after fajr, it's a time where we know from the Quran that it's a blessed time, and also there's not a lot of distractions. So if you have children or other things going on, probably most people are sleeping at that time. If your family is awake, then that should be their Quran time as well. And that time is key, you know. And so whatever you do in that time, so even before I had Arabic, my Arabic class, I would spend that time, you know, before Fajr, after Fajr with the Quran. Go to my Arabic class, come back, put in a few hours every day. Of course, now with work, it's, you know, I don't have the few hours every day like I did at that time, but that time after Fajr is still key. And so putting in the time after Fajr before you start your day is the most important thing in this journey. Now, for some people, and this has never been me, they find that before bedtime is a good time for them. And that's never really been my, because after work, you know, bedtime, I'm usually ready to go to bed, you know, long commute and everything. So really just taking advantage of that morning time. And there's so many different formulas that people share about, okay, recite this page this many times, 40 times before you even just like read it, 40 times before you memorize it. One helpful sort of recipe or formula that I have read, and sometimes I use it, is even now in reviews, okay, go through and either you read the whole page, like say 20 times, or you go through, you read an ayah 20 times, read the next one 20 times, put them together. That's kind of, you know, how you just repetition. Also, looking at the, you know, if you don't know Arabic, in the beginning, I did not know Arabic. So I used to have a translation open with me, next to me, even though you do not have to know Arabic to memorize the Quran. And that's important because sometimes people will say, I want to learn Arabic first before I memorize. But like, you know, you said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the Quran easy to memorize. Yes. It's not like memorizing any other book. It's easy, you know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy and beautiful, and the way it flows, that the tajweed is a gift. There's a miracle in it. It's the miracle. So you don't even have to understand it. I tell people, like, if you look at most of the masajid in the US, who is leading the majority of the people, many of them, I should say, who are leading the Taraweeh are not even Arab. You know, I'll speak for Michigan. You know, there's numerous Indo-Pak, people who are leading the Taraweeh. Sometimes people will say about their children, like, should my child memorize Quran or learn Arabic first? You know, and I tell them, don't stop them from memorizing because they don't know Arabic. Like, it's both are lifelong journeys. Even learning Arabic is a lifelong journey. I'm still learning Arabic. I'm still in Arabic classes. So, but it did help me at that time to have a translation open. And that's how I learned a lot of the words too. But it's not necessary. Once you memorize a page, you can just recite it.
Absolutely. I remember very well, this is maybe more than 10 years ago, I was in South Africa, and Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Shatiri, which most people know, one of the most amazing voices, subhanAllah. And we were in the same program, and he was advising young boys memorizing, and he gave this formula. But before he gave the formula, I remember this very well. It's number one, stay away from disobedience of Allah. Mm-hmm. Don't you think, and he was saying this to the boys, and now I'm sharing it with everybody. Don't you think when I'm going to be looking and watching something on TV, on the internet, on any of the channels, and then I'm going to go and open the book of Allah, the words of Allah, and Allah will make it easy for me and read. It doesn't work this way. Mm-hmm. So stay away from disobedience as much as you can. And if we fail, repent and go back. One. Number two, best time, again, morning person, which I agree with you. I'm a morning person. I did it all the time after Fajr. Mm-hmm. Till Shuruq, before I go to work. Two. Or evening. Everybody went to bed and you're an evening person. Alhamdulillah. Then the repetition he gave is like you read it 7 times, every ayah, every verse, you read it. And one of the things which I'm sure you know that is when you memorize the Quran, which is so interesting, literally the page will be printed in your brain. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing. So that's when somebody asks you to recite from that part of the Quran, you immediately bring that page in you. Mm-hmm. So they tell you, read it, read the verse. His advice was 7 times, then recite it from memory 7 times. You go to the next verse, read 7 times, memory 7 times, 1 and 2, 7 times. The bottom line is repetition. Keep repeating. You'll forget. You do it in the morning. I remember very well. You do it in the morning. You go for Dhuhr to pray. And recite what you memorized, nothing is there. It's all gone. Mm-hmm. But once you keep reciting it tomorrow, it becomes easier. Mm-hmm. Stay away from disobedience. Make a schedule, time, allocate it for the Quran. Like, you know, you have to go to bed and sleep. You have to take care of your children, 3 o'clock. I need to go and bring my child from school. There's a dedicated time for the Quran. Has to be. Repetition. I, from my own experience, get a teacher, better be in a class. Class is amazing. Mm-hmm. Class. Five, and this is for us, especially women. Pack your ego. I used to say this when I was in Jeddah. Pack your ego and said it FedEx overseas. I always said this to myself because it is so, especially for you, like I did it when you, I did it actually after I finished my residency. So here I am, you know, I've done all this and then here I am in front of the class. Some of them are my patients and I'm making all these mistakes. It was so not pleasant, but doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Don't look at people. Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. And Allah definitely will make it easy, subhanAllah. What else you want to share with, alhamdulillah, Rabbi, with our audience? We have a very good number. What else you want to share with them that I did not cover?
I think, alhamdulillah, we covered most of the important things. What I will say is you brought up some good points about the number one obstacle is our own selves. And I've, you know, I teach a lot of women in my Crowning Venture class through Rabat. It's a memorization class and it's motivational. Most of it is motivational. I mean, we go through the hadith and things like that and tips and everything. But one of the biggest things that I find is as women, we put limits on ourselves. And I go through an exercise in my class where I write, there's a column limiting beliefs, and then there's a column empowering beliefs. And I set a timer and I say, everybody write down what are the thoughts going through your head right now about this journey. And they'll write down things like, I don't have enough time. My memory's not good. I don't have a good memory. I'm not good at memorizing. It's too hard. All of these things. And then we talk about them and I have them cross it out and write down, okay, what are you going to tell yourself instead? You know, so instead of saying, I don't have a good memory, we can say that, you know, with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, I can memorize the Quran. And, you know, if I don't have time, you could say, I give time to things that are priorities. And Quran is a priority. Like just changing our own internal chatter is step one. And so I'm so glad that you brought that up. And I love how you said, you know, the word that I use is challenging. Not difficult, but like you said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has told us it's easy, but it's not the Quran that is difficult. It's us. You know, we are the ones who make it difficult or challenging for ourselves by holding ourselves back. And the other thing that I found with the women that I work with, they are, mashallah, very advanced. You know, they've gone through, they've perfected their tajweed, they've started this journey. They have probably finished a khitmah in tajweed and now they're memorizing. Is oftentimes the other thing that holds us back is we paralyze ourselves by at the end of a memorization session, instead of looking at the blessing that we had of sitting there for an hour with the Quran, immediately we go to, oh, I didn't do a good job. I can't do this. I didn't do a good job. Really just beating ourselves up. Instead of, why not end with shukr? You know, yes. Regardless of what, how well or how much I did in this 1 hour, even if it's one ayah, just say, thank you, Ya Allah, for letting me sit here with the Quran for this invitation, because I could have been doing anything else in that hour.
True, absolutely. There is the shaitan has many tools. Mm-hmm. Because فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. The only act of worship in the whole Islam that Allah specified that before you start, say أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ is reading the Quran. So mm-hmm. interesting. Nothing before Salah, nothing before you fast, or Hajj, or Umrah, or any of these things. Because that's where shaitan comes in. It depends who you are and the ways. Two things I want to add, and this is, again, my personal, it may help people. And I shared it to, I did a ilm feed, I don't know if you've seen it, it was about the memorizing the Quran. One of the main reasons I memorized the Quran was one of my friends who passed away. And I saw her 2 days before she passed away. It was a very dear friend to me, passed very young, had a very aggressive cancer, subhanAllah. And I remember very well, I was going to Umrah. No, I just came back from Umrah. It was Wednesday. She passed away on Friday. And she looked at me. She was still talking and everything, but we know it was terminal. But we couldn't know exactly how long. She said, I only want Allah. And she has two young children. She passed away, the children 10 and 11. Mm-hmm. But look what she said. This is a dying woman. And she said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she has amazing iman. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me life. And I want Allah to give me life. And the expected answer is, because I want to be with my children, right? Mm-hmm. She said, I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me a little bit more. Mm-hmm. For two things I want to do. I want to memorize the Quran and I want to go for Umrah. Mm-hmm. She passed away 48 hours later. And I remember very well when I left that day and I said, what is my excuse? Mm-hmm. And I was there with her when she was dying and when we did ghusl and everything. And I still remember her face. This is more than 20 years ago. And I said, what is my excuse? I'm still breathing.
Yeah.
And Allah gave me the time. And by the way, yani Allah, of course, لا أتأول على الله, but she was sincere in what she said. Mm-hmm. Allah will reward her.
Yeah,
because she was very sincere. Nobody dying and has young children, and she was young in her early 30s. Talk about memorizing the Quran, unless if they are really sincere. Yeah. And Allah wa huwa al-Kareem, He will reward her as if she has memorized. What is my excuse? That's what I said to myself. What is your excuse? You're healthy, you're living. What is time? You make the time. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And I want to share this with everybody. Because the whole idea, as long as I am breathing, then we can do it. Mm-hmm. And if I die tomorrow, and Allah said this, you know this, Ya Rektoros Aliya. Allah said this in Surah An-Nisa. وَمَنْ يُهَاجِرْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يَجُدْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُرَاغَمًا كَثِيرًا وَسَعَى Whom leave for the sake of Allah, hijra, migration, will find a lot of opening and openness in earth. Mm-hmm. The next one is what related to this. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا فِي سَبِيلِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ And whomsoever leave for Allah, take the journey, then you die, then he die, فَقَدْ وَقَعَ أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ Allah will reward him. So it doesn't matter when I will finish, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm old, I'm grandmother, I'm pregnant. Don't put, this is shaitan's obstacles. Start and see how Allah will make it. And as you said beautifully in the beginning, there's so many opportunities these days. When I started, there was nobody. I did it alone.
Yeah.
Alone in the masjid after Fajr. I have no idea how to memorize Quran. Nobody memorized. I have not seen except one of my friends only, but nobody else. And mm-hmm. then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after not immediately, after a couple of years, opened. Do you want to add anything? Alhamdulillah, we have 5 more minutes. Allah put barakah. It's the Quran. Of course, there is barakah.
Alhamdulillah. I just want to say thank you for sharing that story about your friend. That's beautiful.
It's amazing. I mean, this is more than 20 years ago. I still remember her face mm-hmm. when she was sitting in front of me, full. I mean, it's terminal cancer. So you can mm-hmm. imagine. Subhanallah. Yeah. Subhanallah. And the other one is one of my patients. Mm-hmm. This woman is 78. And I was doing, we were in the office, counseling pre-op before we do a surgery. And she looked at me and says, Doctora, when can I go out of the house after the surgery? I was doing a major surgery. And in me, I was like, where does she want to go? Right? As if she read my mind. And she said, Doctora, because I want, when can I go to the school of Tahfidh? And I said, Subhanallah. And I even called her auntie. So where are you? MashaAllah, you memorized. And she said, yes, I'm in Al-Baqarah. I said, MashaAllah, you're done. I thought she started from the back, 78-year-old.
MashaAllah.
And she said, no, we just started, and smiling, literally, the way I am doing it now. She said, no, I just started, alhamdulillah. After we did the surgery, I went to visit her at home. And this stuck in my mind. And I said, where are you, Khala, now? She said, in Ali Imran.
MashaAllah.
This is 6 weeks later, mm-hmm. 78-year-old, widow, subhanAllah, grandmother. What a himmah, what a resolve, alhamdulillah. This is a question from Hafsa, said, assalamu alaikum. One thing I would love to hear about is advice on learning the meaning of what we read. I take tafsir classes now.
Mm-hmm. So tafsir classes, there's an echo. Tafsir classes are great if you have access to that. Again, tafsir is a lifelong journey as well. But alhamdulillah, nowadays there are so many options online to learn tafsir as we're going. And also, you know, there's so many different ways, even to, if you don't know Arabic, there's programs for Arabic doing word for word translation or, you know, taking different kinds of Arabic classes. But definitely, if you have already found a tafsir class that is, you know, a good class, alhamdulillah, that's amazing. It makes a difference when you have gone through the tafsir of a surah and now you're memorizing it. The other thing that I found is another beautiful thing about having gone through and memorized even one time, I'm in Sira class now. So I'm in a lot of Islamic classes through Rabat. I just graduated with the teacher certificate, alhamdulillah, and I'm doing the next level. And in Sira class, now I feel like I have a different appreciation because when we talk about the different ayats, when they're revealed in different, you know, times in Sira, in the Sira, it's beautiful because I know the ayah, and it gives me a different angle. So now putting it all together, like all the different classes, you know, it's the Sira is important, but Sira also, like knowing the Sira helps you to know the Quran. It's all related. And that's why, like Dr. Haifa was saying, to be a well-rounded da'iyah, it's important to have gone through and spend a lot of time with the Quran. Of course, the best is to be able to memorize it. And that's going to help you in every aspect, every other Islamic class you take, even going to Arabic now, like as I'm still learning Arabic, my examples are always from the Quran, you know. So alhamdulillah. I think you're on mute. Okay.
Yeah. One thing which I'm sure you've done it too, which I think we missed to say, is listen to it also.
Yes.
Listening to the Quran. So like you're driving, alhamdulillah, we live in the States. Half of our life is on the road. Mm-hmm. You're waiting in the waiting room, right? Especially if you are during the monthly time. Listen to what you have memorized. Mm-hmm. And I will say, if you are so much limited in time, if you're going to study too many things, you're going to get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Focus on your memorization with word-to-word meaning. Don't go to the whole detail of tafsir because that's a whole science. It's beautiful, but wait. Mm-hmm. Because unless you have all the time, beautiful, take it all. Mm-hmm. But if you are like most of the women are, you have so many things you have to take care of, and these are important. Start your memorizing journey, but know the words meaning. Mm-hmm. Knowing the words helps a lot. Yeah. Word to word. A lot of the Qurans has word to word. And then as you go through the journey, it will become easier. You can add. There was a couple of questions. It says, what do you advise for somebody who continue to sin, but they still wants to memorize the Quran? It was a very nice question. It was earlier.
Mm-hmm. If you have the intention, that means you have goodness in you. And it means you want to stop sinning. You know, alhamdulillah, that's the first step. Tawbah, where does it start? That we feel remorse, you know, for what we've done or what we're doing. But then there is a point, the next step, where we do promise that we will leave this. And, you know, if there's something that you're struggling with, to leave, look at a few different things. Number one, what is your suhba? You know, who, like, the more you're around goodness and good people, it's easier for you to leave sin. The more you're around opportunities and people who are doing bad things, the easier it is to do the same. And if you need help to stop a sin, like reach out to a mentor, reach out. And, you know, whether it's, you know, a sheikha, you know, some kind of mentor, you know, a family member, reach out and ask for help if you're really struggling. Because then dua, like, you know, like sincere dua to please, Ya Allah, help me to leave this, you know, because I really want to memorize your words. And, you know, whoever wrote that question, you know, my du'as are with you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you to leave whatever it is that's holding you back. And I really applaud you for having this intention. You know, it's beautiful that you have not left this intention or told you, you know, yourself that I can't do this. You still have that intention. So hold on to that intention. Sincerely, inshallah, you will find a way to leave what's not good, and a door will open for you to move forward with your intention.
Absolutely. I remember this beautiful sister. لن يضيعك الله. Allah will never let you down at all. But don't let shaitan come to you through this. كل ابن آدم خطأ. All the children of Adam are sinners. الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام said this. And خير الخطائين التوابون. And the best among these sinners, they're sinners. But there's a best among them are those who repent.
Yes.
Just repent. If I can take a little bit more time, is that
sure.
Okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
It starts from Juz 30. Is that okay?
There, yeah, some people do start with Juz 30, you know, because the surahs they're shorter. A lot of times people have memorized some when they were young, but even if you didn't, that's okay. It's a nice sense of accomplishment, you know, to complete one juz. And because the surahs are shorter, you feel that sense of accomplishment every time you memorize a surah before jumping to, like, say you're going to go next to Baqarah, you know, or so some people actually memorize from Surah Yasin to the back first. There's no only one way to do it. You can do it any way you want, really, you know, and find what works for you, whatever just helps you move forward. For me personally, I find that the longer ayats are easier for me, you know, looking the surah that have longer ayats than the ones where there's more, but they're shorter. Because I feel like, you know, if there's a page, it has just three ayats. Once you've memorized the ayats, you just put them together, you know. But everybody is different. And I did start with Juz Amma. You know, even before I started this whole journey, I started with memorizing Juz Amma. And I wasn't somebody who had access as a child to a lot of Islamic, you know, I lived in a small town. There was no mosque. There was maybe five Muslim families. Our Islamic school was an hour away and it wasn't regular. So, I mean, sometimes I look back and I feel like I wish I had more opportunities, but then I tell myself everything is perfect the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written it out for everybody. It's perfectly perfect and better late than never. And just be grateful. Whatever time in your life it comes to you, the desire and the means, just be grateful and move forward. So yes, to answer your question, you can start anywhere you want.
May Allah bless your parents. This is how I will say, in a small town, mashallah. Actually, yeah, there is, because there's another question in the same. Can we start with the surahs that we know more? Yasin, Al-Waqi'ah, Al-Kahf. You know what I will say? Start the journey. Mm-hmm. Just start. It doesn't matter. Most people, I also started with Juz 30th because we know it when we were young, just to give me better motivation. Like, oh, alhamdulillah, I finished a juz. Yeah. Then I reached to the 20th and Namil, I remember 19. And then I started from Al-Baqarah. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter. You know, even when you go to with us in Jannah Institute, we have a class who finished the last five and they are going backward. And we have a class who started with Al-Baqarah. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Just start and don't give up. Mm-hmm. Don't give up. Whatever happens, even if you're stuck in one ayah for 3 months, mm-hmm. stay and see what Allah will open. Because Allah tests us. He tests how sincere. Are we ready to take that journey, the amazing journey, the hafidah, the crown, your parents, the Quran will, and we probably have to mention this, alhamdulillah, Allah made me remember, the Quran will talk to us, they will witness for us in the grave, in front of Allah. We will not speak. The Quran will speak. It's an amazing journey. Just don't give up. Start anywhere you want. I think, I don't know if I have any other question. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. May Allah reward you. Time literally flew. It's an hour.
Yeah.
I was like, this is too beautiful. Inshallah, it will not be the last time. How about that?
Yeah, inshallah.
And maybe next time we will bring schedule exactly and make it easy for people. But again, I will say this about myself. If I can do it, everybody else can do it. Absolutely. And I'm sure the same thing for you, Doctora Saadia.
Yes.
Like you grew up in the United States. You grew up in a small town. You're a mm-hmm. physician, right? Mm-hmm. You just said it. Family is not very religious. You were the first hafidah in your family?
I am the first. Alhamdulillah, my family is religious, but we did not. Not of a hafav. Yeah. And I had only seen two women in my life who had memorized the Quran before I decided to. Well, I should say before I went to Syria. Once I went to Syria, I saw hundreds, but.
As I shared with you in my studies in Jeddah, I had none who taught me not hafidha. And not hafidha, just hafidha. They quote the Quran as I shared it with you before we went live. They shared the Quran like you and I recite al-Fatiha. Subhanallah. So I looked at these are women, they're young, who old, who married, who pregnant. But it's just norm. Do it. All my beautiful sisters who are listening and brothers, young and old, start this journey. And I always said this to myself, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely worthy, my time, my effort, my struggle. And the result is amazing. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira. Jazakumullahu khairan, Dr. Saadia. I'll leave the last word to you.
I just want to say jazakallah khair for having me. It really was my honor to be here with you. And you're a role model for women everywhere. So may we all, inshallah, know the entire Quran as well as we know Surah Fatiha. And inshallah, everybody has a beautiful Ramadan, the month of the Quran.
Yes. Okay. Inshallah, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.